There's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live back at the Elder Dragon Journal podcast, the first and the only. As always, this is your host, Igoron, and as always, my co-host, Nexha. Say hi, Nexha.
Greetings, fellow human.
So, Nexha, you've been doing good?
Yeah, I've been doing fine. Bit tired from work and other work activities. Oh, yeah, and the heat.
The heat. We're having, what's worse, I can't actually call it a heat wave. It's like 30 degrees. Out there in Celsius.
And that's not the worst it's going to be, because it's not even summer yet.
Yeah, but I am a person who actually likes the cold, the minus 10 to 0 degrees. I'm perfectly fine with those temperatures, and this is just melting me.
Yeah, because the problem is, when you're hot, there's only this, you know, legal limit, you can, how many clothes you can take off, and it still won't help you. Well, when you're cold, you can just, you know, pile on stuff.
How much air conditioning do they have in prison?
I would bet. Oh, if the prison is like inside, like a huge stone structure, it might actually be like naturally cooler inside.
I'm going to bet it's concrete, not natural stone.
Oh well.
Get fucked up. Anywho.
Well, if you're deep enough, then you'll be colder.
That's a point, but still. Anywho. Got any commander in the weeks?
Well, I've been tinkering with all of my commanders a bit. Just moving some lands between them, making them more consistent, removing cards I actually didn't find that good.
Like Lurking Predators?
Okay, Lurking Predators is in the future Worm deck now.
Because that's apparently becoming a thing, so...
It is definitely becoming a thing, and there's nothing that can stop it from becoming a thing.
Anywho?
So, another example I never thought was actually going to go on the list, but Dareti Ingenious Iconoclast isn't actually that good as I thought.
Huh.
I mean, sometimes he's good, but it really... in Scarecrows, where I played him, he doesn't really function that well, as I thought. Because his plus one is like actual do-nothing. It's like you put a 1-1 defender, but that's almost nothing. And then next turn you can sacrifice it to destroy something.
Mm-hmm.
So I played with him a couple of times, and the only time he was actually good is when he entered the battlefield, did the plus one 3 times, and then used ultimate.
That sounds good.
Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of people's fault that happened.
Of course. I mean, I've been doing something similar last night with Planeswalkers.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Dareti, unfortunately, he got cut, while the other Dareti, the foreman of Dareti, the commander Dareti...
The Pope.
Yeah, the Pope, he's actually absurd.
Yeah, he's always absurd.
He is actually insane. He's a lot better than this guy for the deck that I'm playing.
I might be thinking of putting him in Alesha or Bloodfall just to get back the stacks pieces.
He's really good. Like, the discard 2 and draw 2, really nice.
Yep.
And the reanimate an artifact, really nice.
It would be nice to get the smokestacks back after, you know, I smokestacked.
Yeah. You know what else would be really nice?
What?
If he actually came in foil.
If only he could.
But for some reason, he's the only commander that's not getting a foil reprint.
Because reasons. In Commander Anthology 2.
Yeah, because reasons.
Oh well.
Next time, maybe.
done with your week?
Oh yeah, so in conclusion, I have to say that I like my Reaper King a lot more now that I've included... a Paradox Engine, which is...
Yes, kind of good card.
Apparently it's pretty balanced, I guess.
Oh, balanced as in card balance, right?
Yes.
Perfectly fair.
What about you, Igor?
I had some really fun plays, but I'm going to go with... I had a Paradox Engine play. I was playing with Derevi, and I had Jay's Architect of Thought out. And only way I could have won, because I had a Paradox Engine out and a couple of Mana Rocks, was to get Azami, the Lady of Scrolls. And I minus the Jace, and land Azami. That just threw me that Azami into my face and said, okay, do it, and I just, comboed off. But what I wanted to say that we had a cube draft yesterday with our friend Andre, and it was kind of his birthday celebration, something like that, because we didn't get to celebrate him properly when it was his actual birthday. So we bought him a pack of M25. And because we decided to buy a couple of Recruiters of the Guard like a couple of months ago, he ordered it day before yesterday. And he's opening the pack and he's saying, wouldn't it be fun if I actually opened the Recruiter of the Guard? And we all laughed and said, ha ha ha. Turns out.
Suddenly
Recruiter of the Guard. I was clapping like an idiot.
that was actually hilarious.
It was great. It was a great beginning of the evening. And then we actually started to cube draft. And Tess was having her actual first draft ever in her life. This was maybe more my fourth or fifth, maybe. But we managed to draft, almost everybody drew their signature deck. Andre drew Storm. Tess drew something that was red, green, and stompy. I managed to get the blue-white stacks Planeswalker control, and you, which was...
A poorly executed combo deck.
Extremely poorly. It was basically a reanimator deck that had way more reanimation spells than it had targets.
Not only that, I actually played the removal spells.
Yeah, for some reason.
For some reason, because, why combo off when you cannot combo off?
When you can be mid-range.
Mid-range reanimator. Yeah, don't do that, kids. Also, Blightsteel Colossus is not a reanimation target.
Turns out.
He's there because of Tinker, not because of reanimate.
Yep. But my pack one was just Emerald Mox. I was like, yes, we can go with this. Second pack, Mox Pearl. What was the white one?
Yeah.
Mox Pearl, and the third, the booster was the Time Walk. So I was like, if I'm seeing power, I'm drawing power. But the problem was with the third pack, it was Time Walk and Time Twister. And I was like, but I had to take Time Walk because Time Twister is only good in Storm decks, which apparently somebody was drafting.
Well, my first pick one was Mishra's Workshop because I thought I could go artifacts, but turns out that there aren't really any artifacts.
You could have went something like Tanglewire Smokestacks and stuff.
Yeah, but then my second pack was a Breathing Pod, and I was like, okay, Breathing Pod, that's a card, and I kept it.
You could have actually went with something like Workshop from Vintage with Breathing Pod, because there are actually a couple of decks that are doing that.
I know, but later on there were like no artifacts at all.
Oh yeah. Because I was picking every stack sticks imaginable. And I had Smokestacks, I had Tanglewire, I had Balance, I had Armageddon.
And another problem was that the piles weren't shuffled the best, because there was one pack that had like 10 green cards in it.
Also, my opening pack was like 6 blue cards. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But it turned out, we all had fun. We're going to play that most likely next week. If we'll manage to get time, but that's gonna be fun.
Oh yeah, you're getting white weenied definitely this time.
Again, depending on what you open.
You can always white weenie. Even if you don't draft white.
Wow. So basically red deck wins?
Actually more like put some value creatures and then get them swords.
You mean like Tess had Progenitus and Wutful Primus as her targets for natural order? But most of the times she was winning, it was with the mana dog that had 2 swords on. Turns out, pretty good.
Turns out that only against her did I get my actually good hands for reanimation. Like, animate dead, 2 lands, and like a Sheldred. And I was like, okay, I'm second. Draw, I pass, I discard Sheldred. And then two turns later, oh look, I have a Sheldred.
Gee, surprise. What I liked was that I picked up Pitting Needle in the draft. And I knew I had to play it because somebody's going to do something stupid, like, you know, Grizzlebrand or Liliana of the Veil. And turns out Nyxia played Liliana of the Veil, I managed to Pitting Needle it, and that kind of won me the game.
Yeah, I really needed that discard outlet.
Yeah. I also needed creatures to stay on board.
Well, yeah.
Also, you know who was the actual MVP of my deck? Gideon, the first one. He smacked people in the face really hard.
He is quite decent.
But game one against Tess was the funniest because we were talking about the good old days of Coreblade, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Gideon and Jace. And those are one of the two, those were two Planeswalkers I had in the deck. And game one, I managed to have them both out.
That must have been fun.
She hated it, especially because I Armageddon after that.
Yeah, turns insult to injury.
Active Jace, Active Gideon, and Armageddon is kind of good. But yeah, that was a cube draft. It was a lot of fun, and it was the vintage cube that we just took from the Wizards page.
Mm-hmm.
But enough of cube draft. What are we doing this week, Nyxia?
So, Wizards announced a return to Ravnica.
Whatever.
So, in honor of that, we will be doing a retrospect of a retrospect of original Ravnica.
But not the one we did many, many moons ago.
No, the one where we discussed the actually good cards.
Screw that.
Yeah, this time we're going in deep. And we will try to find cards from the original block that might actually need a spotlight. Like, they're underplayed or something like that.
We do not guarantee we will actually succeed in this.
Yeah, there might be some questionable choices, but...
Plenty of questionable
choices. They will be choices nonetheless.
Okay, let's begin with the City of Guilds.
Ah, the Yoldi City of Guilds.
One card from the bottom that I really like is Votary of the Conclave, but not because of the effect, the art.
What's the name again?
Votary of the Conclave. 1 mana, 1/1. For 2 and a green, regenerate Votary of the Conclave. That doesn't matter, the art looks bitching. It looks like a legendary creature.
Oh, yeah, that one. It does look really cool.
It sucks ball. I mean, for draft purposes, it doesn't suck balls, basically, because it's 1/1 for 1 mana. With an upside sometimes.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I noticed. There's some art. There is some art in this set that looks like really nice, and it's stuck on a useless common card or something like that. Like,
you mean Caregiver?
Or Roofstalker White.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he looks like a complete badass, like, dark skeleton knight or something like that. And he's actually useless.
I have actually one better art for you. Vindictive Mob. Looks like a metal album cover.
Yeah.
Card sucks balls.
A 6-mana 5/5 human berserker that's black. You have to sacrifice a creature when it comes into play.
Yep.
And the upside is that it can't be blocked by Saprolings.
I mean, draft-wise, it's a 5/5 for 6-mana. Not a good one, but you know... Not bad stats.
Yeah, but it's a 6-mana 5/5 that you have to sacrifice a creature for it to enter.
It could be a good thing for you, I guess.
Mostly not, but okay.
Maybe it has dredge.
Oh, well, if you're in dredge, then yeah, sure. Manage to draft dredge, then congratulations.
But are there actually good cards in here?
Well, that is that is the question of the day. So...
good enough, I guess. You had the soft spot for the Ribbons of the Night, right?
Yeah, because I remember Ribbons of Night when I first started playing Commander, which was like years ago, like 6-7 years ago, I would say. And Ribbons of Night, actually even more. Damn, I can't remember. But it was around Alara, a bit later than Alara, because I know that I accidentally used Dragon Brood Mother as my commander.
9 years ago? Ish?
Something like that. I lost count. Doesn't matter. And Ribbons of Night, when this guy used it against me, I was like, wait, what? So, for 5 mana, you killed my creature for 4 damage, you gained 4 life, and you draw a card. I was like, this is the best card ever. I need to get some. And then I got some. And then, years later, I learned that, you know, a 5 mana sorcery that does this isn't really that impressive anymore. But what would make the card really good is that if it were an instant.
Yeah, but I think it's not an instant for a reason.
Yeah, because it would actually be really, really pushed.
Yeah. What is actually interesting, we need to scroll a bit downward, I think. Bloodletter Quill was always nice, but never that good.
Yeah.
For 3, it's an artifact. 2, an attack. Put a blood counter on Bloodletter Quill. Draw a card, then lose 1 life for each blood counter on Bloodletter Quill. For blue and a black, remove blood counter from Bloodletter Quill. Basically, it's a really bad Phyrexian Arena.
It's a colorless Phyrexian Arena. Like, that was the point of it.
Yeah, I know. But commander-wise, it's not a colorless Phyrexian Arena. You need to be playing blue and black. And if you're in those colors, you kind of have access to better card draw.
Yeah, like Phyrexian Arena.
Or Necropod.
But if you have Esper, you can play the enchantment. What's it called? The one that doesn't let you put counters on things.
Solemnity.
Solemnity. Yeah, but does Solemnity actually... Solemnity... it says... Oh, artifact. Yeah, so there, you don't lose life from Bloodletter.
Wow.
You just need another card to negate a bad card.
And you need to be playing 3 colors. Which in Commander is kind of the upside, not the downside, but, you know.
But before we go on, let's look back and just talk a little bit about the mechanics and compare them with the mechanics we got in actual Return to Ravnica.
So we have Convoke, which was always good. Each creature you tap while playing this spell reduces it by 1 generic or by 1 mana of that creature's colors.
Which was actually really... It's still a busted mechanic.
It's... on most spells they put it, it's not actually that good. But Court of Calling is a thing.
Yeah.
Basically, that that one card makes the whole mechanic be like, yeah, this is good.
We also got Dredge. And we all know how Dredge turned out.
Fair and balanced is what I'm saying.
Instead of Dredge, we got... what was it called?
Scavenge.
Scavenge, which was completely whatever.
Instead of Convoke, by the way, we got Populate, which was copying tokens.
And was also...
It was good.
Decent, but it needed quite a bit of setup to actually be a lot better.
But if you were playing green-white, you most likely were playing tokens, and then things like Rastani kicked in naturally.
Yeah, but the real value was when you could copy your 8-8 or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Desolation Twin token.
Yeah.
Or your Prime Speaker Zagana token and draw even more cards.
Living the dream. We have the shit pile that's Radiance.
Radiance that doesn't see any play whatsoever. Except for one card, which still doesn't see any play because it's fringely playable.
What's Radiance?
So Radiance was like, you target something with an effect, and then it targets everything else with the same color as the primary target.
You become extremely racist, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Good. Boros is all about racism.
But instead of Radiance, we got Battalion, which was a better mechanic.
It was really good.
It was really fun in Limited.
It's even fun in Commander with some cards, and it actually makes sense for the guild.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny that you put, for the Police Guild, racism. Take it as you want.
Well, the best part was when you target a two-color card, you get to Radiant on 2 colors instead of
you,
1.
You hate 2 races. Whoa. Progressive, are we?
Also, that's why the Courier of the Guild Pact was made. Then you can Radiance everything.
Oh, God. See, all colors matter equally to be hated on. What's the next card you want to talk about?
And one more mechanic.
Is there?
From Dimir.
Oh, we have.
We actually got a transmute.
You mean the broken thing?
And the only thing broken more in this set is Dredge.
Yep. The thing is, transmute is not broken, it's just really reliable as a tutor, and wizards don't want that.
And some of the cards were, like, useful even without the transmute.
By the way, transmute is you discard the card with transmute from your hand for whatever the mana cost is to transmute, and you're searching for a card with the same converted mana cost as the card you discarded from your deck, put it into your hand.
So basically you have that 2-mana 1-3 unblockable with transmute for 3, and, you know, you transmute him and get Jitte, basically.
Jitte is 2-mana.
Yeah.
Yep. And what is actually really fun with when you discard the Dimir Machinations and you get Food Chain.
Yeah.
That's what Tess is doing. Those are all mechanics, right? Now they're all.
Those are all the mechanics, yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, and instead of Transmute, we got Cypher, which seemed cool, but...
It seemed cool. I remember a friend of ours being upset that this is the most broken thing ever, because they put... What they put? Windfall?
Yeah.
On the thing?
Yeah.
And he lost his shit, and I was like, it's not as good. No, but it's Windfall. It's not as good. And turns out, it wasn't as good. I know, I played it. Still not as good.
Yeah, it was a bit of a lackluster mechanic in the end.
Yeah. Now we can talk to cards.
Mm-hmm. So, you see, Woodwraith Corruptor, does... the problem is... So, Woodwraith Corruptor is really close to being an actually good card. So it's a 3, black, black, and a green for a 3/6 elemental horror that says for 1 black, green, you tap it, and target forest becomes a 4/4 black and green elemental horror creature. It's still a land. So it's permanent.
Yeah, but it A, needs to be a forest.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
B, the mana cost of the creature.
I mean, I would just stop at it being, has to target a forest, because...
Yeah.
I would play it in, like, I turn your land into a creature, now you have to sacrifice it. Ha ha ha.
If only there was a creature that could do that.
Yeah, if only.
Emperor's Doral of the Beast, you know?
I know.
Also, this needs to tap to happen.
Yeah.
So basically, for 4 mana, for 3 mana, and losing a good blocker, you maybe screw somebody's day.
Maybe.
Yeah. Mm. If some numbers were shifted, maybe, or some words, but they're not.
So,
you know what card?
Yeah?
You know what card I want to talk about? Last Grasp.
Last Grasp, yeah.
An actually good card. That's underplayed. For 1 black, it's an instant. Target creature gets -3/-3 until the end turn. It's been a bit outshadowed by, you know, certain -5/-5 spell, Dismember. But this is still real good. It kills a bunch of stuff.
It's still a pretty decent removal because it's -3/-3, which isn't really insignificant.
Yeah, you kill dorks.
And it's just at 2 mana.
Yeah, you screw their attackers. Or blockers.
It's a really versatile card.
Yeah. I should actually be playing it more.
Yeah. It's a really cool card. You know, it's a removal. Yeah. You should play all the removals.
Not all. The good ones.
Okay.
But this is good. This is good.
Now the one I wanted to talk about is Flame Fusillade. So a 3 and a red for a sorcery that says until end of turn, permanents you control gain. Tap, this permanent deals 1 damage to target creature or player. So, first of all, Paradox Engine, maybe anyone? Because if you're not going... because I think this is the best way to go to combo out. Just make your... Actually kill somebody with...
A Sol Ring.
With a Sol Ring and, you know, Paradox Engine. So Paradox Engine... Death by Paradox Engine. That's just... the best thing ever. It's also actually somewhat played in Krenko decks because you can pump out a bunch of goblins, and this is like an alternate win condition.
I can see that.
You can just tap all your goblins and, you know, haha, take that 1 damage.
And then Paradox Engine.
And then Paradox Engine, of course. But it's also, you know, target creature or player, so you can use it as a surprise. I mean, not a surprise, it's a sorcery. But you can clean the board if need be, if you already can't clean the players.
Yeah, it's a bit situational, but I guess see it.
Next up?
You know what I want to talk about? The card that kind of sparked this discussion partly. Twisted Justice.
Yeah.
For 4 blue and a black, sorcery. Target player sacrifices a creature, you draw cards equal to that creature's power. It sounds so good, doesn't it?
It does sound really good.
Like, you want to just wait until they have, like, just a comma on the field or something like that.
Yeah, and then just get all those sweet cards.
Most of the time, it's just sapling.
Yeah, but, you know, it's in black and blue. You should control that stuff.
I guess, but I love this card for the art and the mana, the flavor text. Basically, in Otiv's mind, he ruled in favor of the accused. But in the courtroom, he was only a spectator, watching his hand deliver the signing bet. The mirror controlling basically everything.
Yeah.
And it's such a sweet effect and a sweet card, but it's just too much mana.
It kind of reminds me of that counter spell from Kamigawa for 4 and triple blue that counters a creature spell and draw cards equal to its converted mana cost.
I think it's just double blue, I'm not sure.
I think it's it's double blue. It's 6 mana total.
It's 6 mana, yeah. That actually sees some fringe play because that's a bit more guaranteed to work.
Yeah, this not so much.
I just have so many fond memories of this card.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, not even memories, just wishes of that working.
I actually did play it.
Oh god.
I remember playing it. I remember it being really nice, but as time went on, it was just like 6 mana for a edict.
Maybe a good edict, most likely not.
I'm paying 4 extra mana for an edict. It's like, no.
And it's not even an instant.
Not even an instant.
Yeah. What's next in your mind?
Well, Woebringer Demon is an interesting card.
What does he do?
So Woebringer is a 3 and black for a 4/4 flying demon. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player sacrifices a creature. If the player can't, sacrifice Woebringer Demon. So it's it sacrifices your stuff and it sacrifices their stuff. And of course you care only about the part where you sacrifice sacrifices their stuff.
Yeah, but you can also sacrifice your own stuff and actually being like sweet.
Yeah. So I kinda like him. I would really like to try him out in Corridor.
He's not actually even bad. This is a really good card. Not even really good card, this is an actually good card.
The only problem is when your opponents don't have any creatures, then the demon dies.
But if that's the position, you're kind of doing all right.
You're kind of okay at that point.
And because it's kind of okay, when I need to, I'll just replay him and I'll be fine. Plus, it's a really cheap demon for just 5 mana.
Mm-hmm.
Overwhelm was always a sad thing to see. Because for 7 mana, it has Convoke, and creatures you control get +1/+3/+3 until the end of turn. Which means you want to play it for cheap, so you tap a bunch of creatures, but because you tap a bunch of creatures, now, you know, you can't attack with them.
Now you're feeling sad because...
And even if you do, they don't get trampled.
Yeah.
Which Overrun does quite easily.
And it's not 7 mana.
Yeah. But actual 2 cards I wanted to talk about was Sirku, Dimir Lobotomist, and Wizen Snitches, because they just actually go in the same deck. A Sirku, for 4 mana, it's a 2/3. And whenever you cast a blue spell, exile the top card of the target player's library. Whenever you cast a black spell, exile the top card of the target player's library. Your opponents can't cast non-land cards with the same name as cards removed from the game with Sirku. You don't focus on his last ability, you just cast a bunch of things, blue and black. And you're playing Lantern Control with him.
Or if there's some unlucky fool playing Rats or Shadowborn Apostles, then he's kind of, not having fun.
He was playing.
He was playing.
Wizen Snitches for 3 and a blue are 1/3 fairies. Flying and players play with the top card of their libraries revealed. So you can see how these two cards work well together.
Yep, just a bunch of cantrip-y instants, and you can dictate what your opponents draw.
Yeah, and you're just playing Lantern Control and slowly winning.
So you actually have a Lantern Control commander. Nice.
Yeah, nobody was playing him until like a year or two ago when a couple of CDH players decided to try their hand with this. Turns out it works and you can actually play it in casual.
Mm-hmm.
It's just extremely slow because it's Lantern Control and that's what it does.
We also have a kind of overpriced semi-Gisela. with Ghosts of the Innocent.
I used to play that.
So it's a 5 and double white for a 4 or 5 creature spirit. If a source would deal damage to a creature or player, it deals half that damage rounded down to that creature or player instead. I just now read this part that it's to a creature or a player, not you. Well, it just halves everything.
Yep.
Oh man, what a sad card.
You just figured it out, man.
Oh no. No.
Yeah. It's good if this happened live on the air. Just from the hype to disappointment in like 3 seconds.
But okay, let me get to an actually playable card if you're building the right deck. And that is Bloodbond March.
Oh, I'm surprised.
So, okay. When I was just talking about rats and those apostles, Bloodbond March is actually a really good card in those strategies because for 2 green and black, it's an enchantment that says whenever a creature or spell is played, each player returns all cards with the same name as that spell from his or her graveyard to play.
And that's why I'm going with Mimeoplasm is the best threat commander.
He is.
You can play this effect and bunch of all other ones that just copy your stupid rats.
Also, you have blue, so Tetsuku Umezawa.
Yes, and you can actually get not double season that thing that gets a creature card from your deck for each thing you have all the same name.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like 6 mana.
I think it's actually 5. A double enchant.
Yeah, double enchant.
Yes, that's the card. You know what's actually a card that I always liked? A Nightmare Void. For 3 and a black, it's a sorcery. Time a player reveals his or her hand. Choose a card from it, that player discards the card. It's 4 mana, which is a million for a discard spell, but this actually gets to hit lands, and it has dredge.
Yeah, it hit lands. That's actually pretty rare.
It is, but it has to be for 4 mana.
Yeah, and it's, like, technically recyclable because of the dredge.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, if you... It's a card you can actually, you know, keep dredging to keep a player locked down forever.
Basically. And if you have a thing with dredge, you most likely are caring about your graveyard. One row underneath, at the right hand, Niksha, I think that's the card you want to talk about.
Yeah, but I think I covered already Sisters of Stone Death in the feeling epic category.
Yeah.
Because it costs a bajillion mana, and it has 3... And it has 3 synergistic abilities that all work really well together. And the whole card just feels legendary and epic.
EDH of the old.
Because it costs that much mana. If it were like 4 mana, so a double black and double green for a, I don't know, 4-3, then it would be like, sure, it has some relevant abilities, but you need like 6 mana on your turn to make it actually work or something like that. But like this, it's 8 mana for a 7-5. It's like, oh, you just need 6 mana for its abilities. It's really no big deal.
Yeah. What I wanted to talk about actually, do you hate when blue players are being all counterspell in your turn? You hate that, right?
Yes.
Well, there is a friend we can play with. It's Stone Shaker Shaman. We have covered this guy way back.
So, was it our first single card discussion?
It was. And we had the cool picture we made for the thing.
Yeah.
But basically, Stone Shaker Shaman for 2 and red. A human shaman, that's 1/1. At the end of each player's turn, that player sacrifices an untapped land. Sure, you can play draw control, not a problem. But it's gonna cost you.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the card.
Yeah, it's like, you're playing an aggro deck, you don't care if you're tapped, you're not doing anything on their turns because you just smack their face. Why would you do anything else?
You could be playing a strategy that just doesn't care about, you know, having more lands than the opponent.
Mm.
Like you're playing MLD. Okay, guys, yeah. You know, sure, fine, I'll sack a land. My next turn on list are old lands. Oh, isn't this nice?
It is.
We're slowly actually reaching almost playable cards. Wow.
Yeah, like, this is one of those cards that I always tried and then removed, and then I would see it again years later, and I was like, I really need to try it. It's Graveshelf Scarab.
Not good.
I know. So, but it just, you know, it's so close.
And what does it do?
So it's a 2 and a black and 2 green for a 4/4 insect. For 1, you sacrifice it and you draw a card. And it has dredge 1. So just 1.
You want to hear a fun story? When Ravnica was just coming out and they were talking about dredge, this is the card I'm showing because, look, it's a good card and just has dredge 1. You just have to mill 1 to get it back. And they were telling that as, you know, as a good thing.
Yeah, and you can always sacrifice it, you know, damage on the stack, sacrifice it to draw a card. Hey.
But turns out, the bigger the number in the dredge, the more you want it.
Yeah, this was actually the worst dredge card you could ever want.
If a card said dredge 20, people will be playing it. If it just said 0 mana, dredge 20.
Doesn't do anything.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't matter.
Give me. I was gonna mention Blood Funnel, maybe. But people know that only Mishra plays with that.
Yeah.
Actual card, again, from single card discussions, Sins of the Past. Remember that one?
I remember Sins of the Past, and we would try to combo off of it.
I still need to get that one. I still haven't.
Oh, man. Sins of the Past.
Yeah. I think we're actually reaching the playables category now.
Yeah, like Agros Kos.
I was going to mention, because he's here, and he's the most broken card ever.
Actually, we all know that
card. No, he's not the most broken card. He's the most broken character ever.
Yes, definitely.
But yeah, actually, after this, we have some more cards to talk about.
We do? I think these are all, like, pretty well known. Except for Bright Flame. I don't know why it's here. It has Radiance and nobody cares. Nobody cares, come on.
Scatter the Seeds is surprisingly here.
I mean,
because in draft, this was stupidly good.
And it's a really good token producer.
It's good for one.
It's instant speed. That's the big part of it.
Actually, Terrarion is surprising me here. Is it because Breya eggs and something like that?
It's probably because of, you know, like eggs and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I said. But Nyxia Dark Blast.
Dark Blast.
1 mana. Target creature gets -1/-1 as an instant and dredge 3. People still play this in Legacy, by the way.
Because which part of the effect?
Just the effect.
Oh, just the effect.
1 mana, just kill a bunch of things in Legacy, good enough. And you can get it back if you need to kill more things.
Yeah, I think that that dredge part really sets it over the other similar cards, like even the one in Dominaria.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to say Tragic Slip.
Nah, man, Tragic Slip's whatever.
No, basically, Tragic Slip and this are the same thing, just Tragic Slip has Morbid, this has Dredge. And
Dredge is kind of a better mechanic, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, it has two different purposes. Because with Dark Blast, you can maybe even kill a couple of elves just in one turn. Because you Dark Blast, you the probe, get X and probe somebody, Dredge instead, get this back, kill another elf, and you can just keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Toothpicker, which is a card which is awesome, but I never see played for some reason.
Yeah, it's actually interesting.
One black mana for a human wizard, 1/1. Generic sacrifice a creature. Look at the top 2 cards of target opponent's library, then remove one of them from the game. If you're playing something like Kresh or Prosh or even Inala with wizards, this is stupidly good.
Yeah, again, dictating what they're going to draw.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
And of course, in Circle.
And of course, yeah.
Moonlight Bargain was always a cool card.
And this one card I haven't seen in years and years because the commanders it's used in just, you know, kind of fell out of the meta, I would say. It's Erasia's Purification.
Oh god, I fucking love that card.
So, it's a 4 and red and white for a sorcery. Each player chooses 3 permanents he or she controls, then sacrifices the rest.
I still have a Japanese copy of that card somewhere.
And this is actually a fairly popular card. EDH Rec says it's in 794 decks.
How many of those are Narset?
271.
Because of course.
So the deck I saw it played in, and it was absolutely absurd, is Uriel the Mistalker.
Oh god.
Remember Uriel?
I'm disgusted.
Do people even know about Uriel anymore?
I didn't think they do.
So let's just remind people that forgot about this guy. So, Uriel the Miststalker is 2 and Naya, so it's 5 mana. For a 5-5 legendary creature beast, Uriel can't be the target of spells or abilities your opponents control, so he has hexproof. And Uriel gets +2/+2 for each aura attached to it. So, you know, you just put the Rancor on it. Suddenly a 9-7 trample, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah, he was the original Voltron Commander. Him and Rafik.
And Uriel was like, he was a nightmare to deal with because of that hexproof. And when he has 2 auras on him, and then you play Razia's Purification, yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Pretty much good luck.
He was a menace to the format.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's the common? I'm surprised to see this high. Frenzied Goblin. For 1 mana, it's a 1/1, and when he attacks, he may pay red, and if you do, target creature can block this turn.
It's probably because of the...
Krenko?
Not Krenko. Well, maybe Krenko, but more Zurgo Bell Striker.
Oh, God, really?
Because Frenzied Goblin is a really good aggro card.
When you're playing 1-1 and then Zurgo is banned, oh no.
It's too bad Zurgo isn't banned.
And the thing that we were wondering about, what the hell, why is Oathsworn Giant so high?
Yeah. Why, though?
So, for 4 and a white, it's a giant soldier. It has vigilance. It's a 3-4, and other creatures you control get +0/+2 and have vigilance. He's basically a castle, right? It is castle. That gave your untapped creatures +0/+2.
But, you know, it's a soldier, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm still... which decks does he appear most in?
Let me just check. So he appears in top commanders, Doran the Siege Tower.
Oh, gee.
And Kalemne for some reason.
It's a giant.
Oh, giant, yeah.
But people are playing Kalemne wrong. You didn't play giants in her.
No, you have a double strike vigilance 4/4, 3/3 guy.
Yeah. You just put swords and hammers and spears and things and smack people. Trust me, they'll die. Quite fast.
But yeah, Doran is actually the biggest culprit, because out of 1,000 decks, Doran is 600 of them.
I mean, if your dudes get +2/+2, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Vigilance. Sweet.
And, yeah, further down the line are pretty popular cards.
And I have the Storm, which isn't popular by anybody, but many people play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you see I have the Storm going down, you're like, oh no, my asshole.
Prepare it.
Oh, you are not preparing, but it's still gonna happen. I'm just looking, is there something surprising in the top picks? No, not really, actually.
Nope. Elves of Deep Shadow, good mana dork.
Yeah. Muddled Mixture, really good card.
Stinkweed Imp has a huge dredge.
Mm-hmm. And he's a good blocker.
Mm-hmm.
People are playing Boros Garrison and things like that. Please don't play those lands. Like, seriously.
Yeah, once they die, and it's and now it's even easier than ever for them to die, yeah, it really feels bad.
Some bitter asshole like me is gonna show up and kill your land, and you know that's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll feel really bad when that does. Shocklands are here, which are good lands, and yeah, that's basically it. I think we could actually just stop here and actually do the segment next week, because it's been like, we could just stop here and actually do the segment next week, because if you go down line and try to do all the 3 sets, it's going to take a while.
Yeah, Ravnica, City of Guilds was the largest of them all.
We can do Guild Pact and Ascension next time, together.
Sure. And maybe until next time we get some core set information.
Which would be nice. Some things have been leaked, we have talked about that, but nothing that spectacular.
Oh, there were the mythic thing.
The red one. What does it do next? Can you remember the top of the head?
Yeah. So it's a bad omniscience. That's all I know. So it's 7 and triple red.
Yes.
It's a sorcery. And it says you exile the top 10 cards. Top seven cards of your library. And you may play those cards until end of turn without paying their mana costs. So, sure. Okay.
No. You have to pay for the mana costs.
Oh, you have to pay, but you get 10 mana back.
If you cast you get 10 mana if you cast a spell from your hand, I think.
Yeah. So, with Omniscience, you get 10 mana.
Yay!
So it's
I mean, it's a fun card, and I mean, people are gonna...
Saffron Olive is really excited about it, because,
Jesus,
you know, you have that, you have that afflict guy, that if he's, when he attacks and he's unblocked, you cast a spell for free from your hand.
I think that anybody that plays MTGO and that thing gets out and sees the Saffron Olive playing against him, they will always block the guy.
Always. And like, but, it's really complicated to make that work, because you need an aggro shell for it to work, so that blocking it feels really bad. But then again, you're playing a 10 mana card, and you're probably playing multiple of them.
It's almost like wizards have thought of this.
Probably. So, it's like, and then you have to have like good cards for it to be a payoff?
Yep.
But you can't have that many good cards because you're playing aggro.
Yep.
It's like you still have to pay for those cards. I mean, what gives? It's a 10 mana card. Come on. You made Omniscience. Why not again? Oh, because they probably learned their lesson with Omniscience.
With Sneak and Show?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What could possibly go wrong with free spells?
I mean, you just show and tell a couple of spells and that's it.
But yeah, looking forward to the release of Battlebond, which is in like roughly 2 weeks. 2 weeks, actually.
Yep,
exactly 2 weeks.
I have already signed up for the Two-Headed Giant.
And yeah, I'm hoping to get some sweet cards for, you know, for Commander.
I'm hoping at least to get Vitrus the Veiled and Grom the Great. At least that.
I mean, if you open one of them in a booster, you'll get both. You'll probably draft both of them.
Most likely, we're going to get somebody to trade with for, because they're not big money.
I forgot how the draft actually works, so...
Is it going to be draft or sealed?
It's draft. And the way it works is, I can't really remember...
I'm so grateful that we're actually teaching Tess how to draft. I'm so grateful right now.
Oh yeah, prepare to have that flipped upside down, because you're both getting two boosters, and when you pick a card from a booster, you're picking two cards.
I mean, she just needs to learn the basics of drafting.
Yeah, but now she'll have to draft for herself and you.
Oh, well, you know.
Which is actually kind of interesting. Looking forward to see how that works.
I'm not sure actually to even tell her this.
Yeah, don't. Let it be a surprise.
This is spooky.
She'll just show up and... Okay, so I just cracked my packs and... No. We're going to draft this.
And I just have to lie that I found out it last minute, right?
Yep.
So yes, people, here you're hearing my divulging stupid plans, how do we lie to my girlfriend to get her to draft? And please nobody let her know this.
We'll play enough drafts, I think, so she'll be...
I think in next like 2 weeks we'll play a couple of cubes and she'll get the hang of it. And she'll most likely draft the most aggro thing she can and that's it.
Yeah.
We're not even going there to win, we're just going there to have fun and maybe get a couple of good cards.
Yeah, I mean, you're drafting two cards. Oh, I also found out something. If you open a foil partner, you get another foil partner.
Yes.
So there's a chance for... Not only do you have a chance to get triple mythics in a pack, you have a chance to actually get double foil mythics in a pack.
Sweet.
Okay, so it's a really cool set.
Yep.
No wonder the foils are a lot rarer than the standard sets.
Yep. I wanted to just give a couple of shoutouts to people.
Mm-hmm.
First to, you remember the Demon Lord Belzenlock?
Yep.
He's still messaging us and... the latest thing he mentioned was basically to read the email. Poor Nyxia. There was a worm commander all this time and Nyxia never realized it. A horse is a horse, of course. And no one can have a commander horse. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mistform Ultimus.
No.
I told him that.
No. I do not approve of this Mistform Ultimus.
He's technically a legendary worm.
He's also a legendary horse.
He is. He's all the things. And a second shout out to Anthony on Twitter, which is at Tony on Tilt. He's been giving us a couple of critiques on the podcast and making the whole thing better. So we'll ship next week when we actually meet again. A couple of things for both Belzenlock and for Anthony. Just, you know, as a sign of a thank you.
Yeah. So, this has been episode
73. I think.
I think last time was 73.
It's 73 or 74. Please let us know in the comments. Even though I'm just frantically searching, it's 72 was last time.
Okay. So it's episode 73.
Definitely.
This has been Niksha.
And this has been Igor.
And as always, the Emperor protects.
The Emperor.